Y'all, I love that you share these testimonies. I mean, it can vary from so many different things, right? God is good. And from the little things to the big things. And I think it's really important that we do these, that we share these testimonies, because it reminds us he is constantly doing something. He is constantly in the midst of things. And it's our testimony that's an act of praise. It's an act of worship that we say he's real, he's alive, he's active, he's good. Right? So I just want you to think about that right now, just the character of God's generosity, that he's such a giver. So I just want you to think about that. Just taste and see that he's good. Scripture says that we just focus right now just on his goodness, on his generosity. He's such a giver. He's such a provider. He's our ever-present help in trouble. I just want you to think about that characteristic of God right now. Thank you, God. You are so generous. And just move into a place of gratitude right now. Just think about, just between you and the Lord, just how thankful and grateful you are for just the blessing that is in your life. There's just so many things we could be thankful for. But it's really important for us just to pause. Give him thanks for everything and everyone we have. Everything we have is yours, God. Everything came from you. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. So I want you just to hang out in that place of what generosity means. That's our character word for tonight. We studied humility last week, and today I just really feel like that was the word that the Lord wanted for us to focus on this week. And then, as I shared last week, just the timing of it being Pentecost and what he gave even at Pentecost, you know, and stuff too, and how we'll move into that here at the end, just about celebrating Shavuot. But I want to just talk about generosity. And so I'm gonna pull up several scripture. You don't have to write them all down. They will be on the recording, but if you want, I will mention them. Let me see. So starting Proverbs 11:25 is one of my favorites. Let me see. Wrong one. There we go. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Proverbs 22:9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Proverbs 22:9. 1 Timothy 6:18. Well, technically, let's do 17 through 19 on that one. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And let's see. Deuteronomy 15, starting in verse 6. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among you, among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year of the canceled debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. they may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you'll be found guilty of sin. So give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all of your work and in everything you put your hand to. I think that last verse is really important too. Because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow men who are poor and needy in your land. And then I'll remind you of Matthew 10:8, the end of that verse, is freely you've received, so freely give. Now, a lot of times when people talk about generosity, we tend to think about the opposite. Like I was saying last week, when we teach on humility, you can't help but teach on pride a little bit too. But I really want to make sure that we focus on the characteristic that God is working on in us. What we tend to do in our human nature is we tend to focus on the negative. And then we start navel gazing and getting really introspective, and we kind of go into that, oh, I need to fix this and fix that and work on that and fix that. I would rather you consider that if he said the old is gone and the new has come, that God is not wanting to work on our old man. See, he agrees with me. God is not working on our old man. He's working on our new man, right? So as much as we do need to talk about the opposites, I want you to hear me say, I want you to think about what generosity as a character trait looks like. When it becomes something that comes out of you that someone would label you, man, that is a generous person. They're such a giver. They just give and give and give. That is a characteristic trait I want to be able to carry. Just like the humility versus pride, I want you to think about generosity. Now, usually when we hear about generosity, we get a teaching on greed. I'm just going to mention a few scripture because I feel like you almost have to when you talk about this on the love of money. And I want to talk about this because oftentimes we get caught up in the whole, almost like when we talked about false humility last week being a form of pride. I don't want us to get into a poverty mentality or a poverty spirit. Okay, that we are able to have a wealth mindset, but it does not mean we enter into greed. Okay, so I want us to really kind of to piece this out a little bit. But I want us to take a look at a few scripture. We're going to start with 1 Timothy. Come on, Bible. Let's see. Sorry, I have my electronic Bible. It's not helping me right now. That's what I get for not bringing the other one, huh? Oh, I know what's wrong. I have it in the wrong version. I move my versions around in my phone, so it doesn't help me. I do a search in one. I've got to do it in the same one each time. Here we go. All right. 1 Timothy 3:3. Do not be addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, and free from the love of money. It doesn't say free from money. Money itself is not the problem. It's the love of money. So let's remember, character is about a heart issue. Okay? This isn't about the possession itself. It's about your heart issue toward it. But you can't talk about generosity without talking about this. So we'll address it. Let's see. 1 Timothy 6. We'll do 9 and 10. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, in order to wander away from the faith, it means you actually had it in the first place. Okay, so they're not just talking about quote-unquote unbelievers, okay? They're talking about us. So, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. So here he goes. You know, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. It is really pouring down outside. Okay. Let it rain. Every time it rains like that, I think of that song. Thank you, Jesus. We're just thankful for the rain. All right, let's see. The next verse is in Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. So really clear here. It's the love of money that's the issue, because there'll never be enough. You know, I always tell people, you can't be too rich or too thin in the United States, right? It's just that never good enough or never enough mode. Okay, so Matthew 6 is next, starting in verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And let's see, last one, Revelation 3:17. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you're wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by the fire, that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and the eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see those whom I love and reprove. I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. So as I shared with you these scriptures, I just want you to think about, when we talk about generosity, the first thing we tend to think about is money. We tend to think about giving of our finances in and of itself. You'll almost only time we tend to hear about generosity or a sermon on it is when it's coming to talking about the tithe or talking about an offering or giving of finances. But what I want to talk to you about is the generosity of character. When you're a person who's generous, it's not just about giving of your finances and taking care of the poor and doing that. And yes, I believe we do need to do that. But at the same time, it's about a characteristic in you that you're a person who shares, like in some of those scriptures. You know, we talk about you don't have to teach children to be selfish. You have to teach them how to share. Why? Because it is our human nature. And remember, our human nature is our fallen nature, okay, that we have to work ourselves into submission, if you will. That's the only thing we've got to do is work ourselves into surrender. And then we allow God to come in and train and teach us to be able to share and to be givers. And so why do we teach our kids to do that? Because it's nice? Because it's a quality and a characteristic of God himself, right? And we're to think about others above ourselves. That's the characteristic. So remember the scripture when we talked about suffering develops perseverance, which develops character, which develops hope, a happy certainty. So what suffering do we have to go through? What difficulty? What's hard that makes us have to persevere that we would develop the character of generosity? Usually it's when you don't have much. Usually it's when it's a tight squeeze when it comes to finances, or usually when there's a heart issue when it comes to being self-focused, okay? Now, selfishness and greed is one thing, okay? I want more, and I can never have enough, and it's all about me. But there's also the opposite side, which is similar, and that is a poverty spirit, an orphan-hearted mentality, a poverty mentality. And so no matter what I have, it's never enough is the root of the same thing with greed, okay? But it still comes from that position of lack, that I still don't have, that I'm less than, or that I'm worthless. It will go to the core of our identity if we're not careful. And so the difficulty that we have to go through, that we surrender in order to grow this characteristic, is to recognize, number one, that whole mentality of I'm a son. I'm a daughter. When we address our identity issues, it is so much easier to be able to share and be generous, because when I know I have plenty, when I know that I'm not going to run out of food at the table, when I know that I have a generous father, a provider that's going to give me everything, and the way that the kingdom works is the more I give away, the more I get. Like it's an upside down kingdom, remember? So when we move in that positional authority and our identity as sons and daughters, then we don't lack for anything. Psalm 23, right? For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I remember when I was a little bitty kid and I first read that one and we had to memorize Psalm 21. I wrestled with that so much because I was like, wait, he's my good shepherd and I don't want him? What? I never understand that. That means to be and want. When I finally saw that in another translation, because I remember asking, I think it was my dad or somebody, I had to ask about that. I was like, I don't understand this. He's supposed to be good and we don't want him? No, we shall not be and want, meaning we don't want for anything. Right? Because he's the good shepherd. He takes care of us. He provides for us. He restores our soul. He takes us down by the pastures and feeds us and beside the still waters that we may drink. He will provide for everything that we need. The difficulty is in this world, we have what's called eyes of the flesh, or the lust in our eyes, as scripture talks about it. It's that position of greed, because the root of it is an orphan heart that says, I need to have more because I'm not enough, or who I am is not enough, or what I have is not enough. And then I also don't have faith or trust in God's ability to be able to provide for all of my needs. Or I think I have to depend on myself in order to get that, right? Because if we're generous, then we know how to live without. We know how to live in a place of satisfaction. I was thinking about, you've probably seen these YouTube videos on Facebook or whatever, while they're doing these like social experiments where a guy will go and he'll, you know, secretly give money, or you know, he'll pretend like he doesn't have anything or whatever. And a homeless person, you know, who just happens to find money when he wakes up on a park bench, you know, it's like $100 or whatever it is. I think he actually put $300 or something in an envelope. And the most recent one that I saw, he was sleeping on a park bench and the guy like slipped a little envelope near him and he looked at it, and the guy woke up and he's filming him from kind of far away where he can't see him. He opens it up and you can kind of see him like tripping and crying or whatever a little bit. And then it says time lapse. He goes into the store nearby and he comes out and he's got two or three sacks of things. Then he goes and sits down. And so the guy has, I guess, somebody else filming, because then he goes, the guy that gave the money in the first place, went and sat down and he's on the phone and he's kind of pretending like he doesn't have, like, oh man, I just, you know, I don't know where I'm going to get the money, you know, and but we'll figure it out. I don't know. Don't worry about it, dear. And he gets off the phone and he's like, man, the homeless guy's like, man, are you all right? Like, is everything okay? And he's like, no, like, my daughter is really sick and she needs this medicine really bad and I just don't have the money for it. And it's going to cost like so much money and I just don't have the money, you know, and it's like a couple $100 and I don't know where I'm going to get it. And there's just no way. And the guy goes, oh man. And you just kind of see him and he's like, hey, so just like, wait a second. I'm going to be right back. So the homeless man takes his bags back to the store, turns in all of his stuff, like gives it all back, gets his money back, comes back to the guy and says, here, man, looks like I think you need this more than I do. And he's like, wait, what? And he looks in the envelope and he's like, no way. Wait, like, did you just, like, what'd you do with all that stuff? Like, what was all that stuff in there? He's like, well, it was just blankets and a, you know, sleeping bag and stuff, but it's okay. Like, you know, I haven't had it, so you need this more than I do, I think. And he's like, man, I just can't believe you would be so generous. Like, don't you need that stuff? And you could tell he was talking to him, you know, to kind of get these answers out of him. And he said, yeah, but man, it's okay. Like, you know, like your daughter's really sick, right? You know, and needs the medicine. Like, just go take care of her. Like, it'll be okay. You know, and so then, of course, he reveals, you know, he's like, I was the one who actually did that, man. I can't believe you would be so generous. And so then he gives him the money back so that he can have it, you know, and stuff too. But it's a powerful testimony, because usually what I have found in working and ministering to the poor is that is their spirit, because they know what it's like to be in poverty and know how to do without. And they know the priority, right, of life and death. They know the priority of sickness and health. They know the priority of really looking out for somebody else. You know, there was another one, I think, where they shared food, or they didn't do the money thing, but it was food instead. And a guy sat down and said, man, I don't know, I'm hungry and I haven't had anything to eat. And, you know, and he's like, well, I just, you know, someone just gave me this bag of food or whatever, and he shares a sandwich, you know, with them and stuff. There's a place of generosity when you've gone through enough suffering that develops perseverance, that develops character. Right? And so abundance of things does not make you generous, because if you don't give out of the place of your poverty, if you don't give out of place of what you have right now, even of whatever it is that you have right now, you're not going to give it when you have more. Like people always say, oh, when I win the lottery and I have all this cash, man, I'm going to give away all this stuff and buy all this and give to charity and all that. And it's like, okay, but what are you doing now? Like if you don't have the same heart to give out of what you have right now, what makes you think that you would do it later? And truth be told, you know, a lot of times it's the rich that have the hardest time. What did Jesus say? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for, you know, the wealthy to enter into the kingdom, because it's hard to let go of those things because you're tied to that. Remember the scripture that I read that says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So in the same way, there's something about that ties our heart that attracts us in the worldly way of things, where we get caught up in what we think we need versus learning how to live without. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be wealthy. Okay, so this is the other side of it. Like sons and daughters know how to be generous and know how to give, but it is also absolutely okay for us to know how to be smart with our money and how to grow and prosper and how to be people who have plenty. Because then the more you have, the more you can give. Multiplied percentage-wise, right? You do. You have more to be able to give then. So I want you to think about it being a heart issue more than anything else. But a poverty spirit says that I never have enough. So I'm going to share with you a couple more scriptures. I'm sorry, y'all. Can y'all hear me okay over that rain? Maybe it's just so loud. Jesus, I would really like it if you would slow down the rain, please, just for like an hour. Thank you very much. All right, let's see. There we go. So here's a few scripture on poverty or the poverty mentality. Proverbs, all of these are in Proverbs. And I think that's really interesting, by the way, coming from King Solomon, the wealthiest and the wisest man on the earth. All right, talking about poverty. Proverbs 6:11. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. 10:15, the rich man's wealth is his fortress, the ruin of the poor their poverty. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk will lead only to poverty. That means you got to actually take some action. Proverbs, let's see, 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty will come surely to poverty. Let's see. Ah, okay. And then the last one, Proverbs 30, verse 8. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. Now, this is King Solomon. Now, I want you to hear 2 Chronicles 9:22 is a description of King Solomon. It says, King Solomon became greater than all the kings on the earth in riches and in wisdom. Okay, now let's remember King Solomon, and you know, the Queen Sheba comes and is so amazed by not just the wealth and the abundance that she saw, but the way the things were even like laid out on the table, like the place settings. She was astonished by the decor, like just the order of things and how things were established and service there. She was astonished by. So when you think about if the wisest man on the earth, who had an overabundance of wealth, that he was the wealthiest and the wisest, and here he is saying, this is his prayer. Keep deception and lies. Well, let me go back. I'm going to read the other verse right before it. Two things Hold on. Let me back up. Every word of God, starting in verse 5, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is tested, and he's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Don't add to his words or he'll reprove you, and you'll be proved a liar. These two things I asked of you, meaning God, do not refuse me before I die. Here's the two things. Keep deception and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches. And yet he was the wealthiest man. I think that's interesting. Why? Because his heart said this. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, who's the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and then profane the name of God. So what he's saying is keep deception and lies far from me. I imagine that not just that other people wouldn't lie to me and deceive me, but that it would be far from me within who I am, not a deceiver, not someone who's to be deceived or to deceive or to lie, right? And he says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but just feed me with the food that is my portion so that I don't deny you and say, who's the Lord? So that I don't move into pride and say, who needs God? I can do all this myself and I have enough and I'm able to produce all of this in my own hands, right? To not get into that place, but to also not be in such want that he would be tempted to steal, for example, and profane the name of God. So I want to address this as a heart issue, that if King Solomon, who is the wisest and the wealthiest man, in his heart said, I don't want to be rich and I don't want to be poor. I want to be satisfied. I want to know you as God. I'm not God. You are, right? In that place of humility that we talked about last week. But I want to be able to be satisfied. Now, Matthew 6, I'm not going to read all of Matthew 6, but Matthew 6 is a great chapter on the kingdom, but so much of it is about the heart position of being able to give to the poor, that there'll always be the poor among you. But I want to jump to Luke 10. Starting in verse 25. Okay, yeah, here we go. So this is the story of the Good Samaritan. So I'm going to read this to you. A lawyer was trying to put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what's written in the law, and how does it read to you? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength, and with your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he started to say, who's my neighbor? So the Good Samaritan story. Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. They stripped him, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Why would a priest pass by on the other side? Yes, because a Samaritan is unclean, right? And so priests had to go through all of that ritual and so forth, right? So he was going to go around the other side because, you know, you're busy, you're on your way to work, and then there's this whole spiritual thing of, well, we don't associate with Samaritans. So the priest was going down on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side also. Same kind of thing with the Levite, but also remember the Levites were also the worshipers. Makes me sad. Okay. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, now go and do the same. So I want to just take note that one denarii was the equivalent to a day's wage in that time. So he spent 2 days' worth of his wages for this stranger to take care of him. And then he also promised more. And now remember, I misspoke because it says there was a man from Jerusalem. So I'm going to assume that he was a Jew. It was the other Jewish people, the Levite and the priest, because of ritual. They went around this guy, didn't even help his own brother, right? And so that's the kind of the trick question is like, well, then who's your neighbor? Because they would say, well, any other Jew would have been their neighbor, but not a Samaritan in that day. But it was the Samaritan who was willing to love this person who needed help to be able to do what he needed to do. Now, remember that Samaritans were called dogs. They were less than. They were considered second class to many of the Jews in society then. So for that person to have been generous, you know, to go above and beyond when he didn't have to, right? Like he probably was very much mocked by Jewish people or tormented or looked down upon or whatever. Yet out of his heart, the goodness of his heart, much like I talked about in that story of the homeless man, out of what he had, he decided to give because he saw someone in need. He looked beyond what separated them in the natural world and was able to love him right where he was at. Now, I love that story because Jesus basically tells him, well, who do you think proved to be a neighbor? When Jesus is telling us these parables, he's teaching character because he's addressing the heart of a situation and trying to get beyond even the culture of the day of what's considered okay or not okay, right? But the heart of God is, this is what I expect of you out of your behavior. I want you to be able to be generous. I want you to be able to be a man's neighbor, that you're to love your neighbor as you love yourself. If we go back to what the Lord said about the commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. But then he goes on and says, and these two things will sum up all of the law and the prophets. And that's all of Scripture. Like that was the whole word all wrapped up into one, is love God with everything and then love your neighbor the way you love yourself. And love is an action. And so for me, this characteristic of generosity is what Jesus is teaching in this parable. Now, a Samaritan would have had to go, again, against the grain of culture at that time. You know, I don't even know, you know, we don't know for sure, I guess, if the guy was even conscious. Right? But I'd imagine there'd have been some Jews there that would have even refused the help of a Samaritan to even be had touched or even associated with one. And yet this man was going to generously give more than 2 days worth of wages to take care of this person. That's generosity. That's looking beyond any offenses, any heart wounds, any heart issues, right? Like there had to be a place of forgiveness and wholeness in the Samaritan's heart to have been able to be that generous. So generosity is a heart issue. It's not just an action. It's not just about our possessions, but it is a heart issue. And I think it's the same whenever we talk about tithing and giving offering. You know, it's a heart issue. It's not about an amount. It's not about a percentage. It's about a heart issue. It's being able to be thankful and grateful, and like in that first exercise that we did when we first started, of recognizing how much we've been given and not comparing. See, that's what we tend to do. As humans, we tend to compare. Well, they have more, so they should give more. Instead of, how about everyone out of the goodness of their heart give as they're led to give, right? And so it's not about a number or about a percentage. It's not about a rule or a law. It's about what comes out of your heart. A, being able to hear God to know what you're to do. Okay, but generosity, again, is not just about money. I see givers oftentimes will be what I call networkers. You see this all the time in the business world anyway, right? Like, I think some of the most generous people I know, it's not just about the finances or the money or things that they do. They open up their home to people. They will feed. They will serve. They will volunteer. They do all those things. But a lot of times in the business world, I see givers are constantly finding resources and putting stuff together. And the biggest resource you have are people, number one, because we have gifts and talents that are beyond, you know, worldly treasure. But when you say, oh, you need to meet so-and-so. I could totally see, you know, that project going together with that project, or, oh, hey, do you know? And you know how when you network with somebody, you begin to identify gifts and call and resource in them. And again, it's not just finances, it's capability or whatever. And so when you say so-and-so needs to meet so-and-so and you connect them, right, you're connecting to a resource, not just because they might have an in at a particular business or they may have an in to whatever, but that is a connection. That is something of wealth, if you will, or abundance is any level of that kind of a resource. So when you start introducing people to one another, you're connecting them to whatever it is that person carries. So even in the spirit, right? Knowing, getting to know that person. This person is a treasure to me and I want you to get to know them. So let me introduce you to them. As we connect people in relationship, it's not just about what they have or what they can give, but it's about who they are that they have that they can give. Am I making sense? Okay. So I want you to think beyond finances and I want you to think about how we can move into a place or a characteristic of generosity. Because we tend to focus on money. Yes, it's an issue. Yes, I think we need to look at it. I particularly always remember the scripture that says you can't serve both God and mammon or wealth. You will love one and hate the other, cling to one and despise the other. I want you to think about that. You're going to love one and hate the other. That's it. Like it's black and white, real deal. Like you either love God and hate money or you hate money and you love God. You'll cling to one or you'll despise the other. So you'll either cling to God and despise wealth or you'll despise God and cling to wealth. You can't cling to wealth and say you still love God. You can't serve both masters. That's what that scripture is saying. It's really black and white, cut and dry. And so when we think about generosity and the characteristic of generosity, it's about being open-handed. Those other scriptures that I talked about, they were to be open-handed to whoever, that whatever I have, I want to be able to offer. You know, that we do things, volunteering service. You know, anytime someone joins the church, we ask them for these three things. We tend to ask, you know, are you willing to give of your time, your treasure, and your talent? Okay. Think about that. How expensive is time? Time is money, I know they say, but how expensive is time? How much time, let's just focus on that by itself. How much quality time, not necessarily quantity of time even, but quality time and attention do you give to the people around you? How much focused time? You know, quality time we know we talked about is a love language. I mean, that speaks love to people. And for some people, more than anything, just having conversation, opening up to them, hanging out, play with me, as my son says. You know, that's his quality time. How do we spend our time? We even say that word, spend. How do we spend our time? How do we invest our time in people? You know, when we talk about discipleship and that being something that's missing in the general body of Christ is what discipleship looks like. Discipleship is being able to spend quality time building connected relationship with people where iron sharpens iron and we grow each other up. Well, this whole concept of character and growing in our character to be more like Christ, you will only get there when you learn how to do it in relationship. You will not learn how to grow in character all by yourself. You can't. Why? Because you have to go through suffering that develops perseverance, which develops the character. We have to go through difficult things. We have to be able to have people who can speak into our life, right? And to be able to call things out and to call things up, okay? And so we do that out of relationship. So in this same way, in this story, this man showed out of generosity, not just providing denarii to be able to pay for him to take care of him, but he physically had to take time out of his schedule, wherever he was going down the road, right? He took a detour. And then he said, and when I come back, I'll come back and pay whatever else was owed to you. So he's making an extra trip. He's going out of his way, having to spend time. So I want you to think about that. Time, treasure, talent. You know, we talked about service when Jay preached on being able to take ownership of how we all volunteer and help in the church and how we all need to be able to find a place to be able to serve and to be able to give of our time, treasure, and talent. You know, that it doesn't take much, but being able to say, okay, I'll volunteer one Sunday a month to greet, or I'll volunteer one Sunday a month to be out in the parking lot or with a kids ministry or whatever it is. It does take a little more time and effort to build relationship with people, to host a life group, for example, or to spend quality time with people, to just take people out to lunch after church and invest focused time and energy and being able to grow in friendship and relationship. But see, that's a characteristic of generosity. It means I'm going to invest my time, my attention, and my focus on you, right? And so we want to be able to be generous people, not be greedy with our time. And I can be really greedy with my time. I mean, to be honest, I'm really more introverted than I am extroverted. So I'm really okay with me in a book or in my bedroom for hours. Like, I'm really okay doing that. You know, I get a little house crazy, and I'm not going to lie. But I have children. I can't lock myself in a bedroom all day and just chill out. I've got to be able to, and I want to, not that I have to even, but, you know, but to be able to make efforts to invest time and attention and focus. You can't grow friendships without it. You can't get to know people without spending time and investing time with people. That means you're going to have to, you know, give up a Netflix show and go out with some friends, or you're going to have to invite some people out to lunch, or you're going to have to invest focused time and energy. That's being generous. Getting outside of, well, this is how I want to spend my time or what I want to be able to do, right? But I want you to think about that. What does it look like to be generous for you? And how much time we have? Okay. So I'm going to wrap this up by saying, when we look at the characteristic of generosity, again, it's easy for us to get into the concept of look at the negative and, oh, well, I'm generous, I give because I do these actions. You know, I'm not greedy, right? And I don't want to be in a poverty mentality. I don't want to act out of lack, okay? The more we come out of that orphaned heart and we know that we have plenty, if we can move into thankfulness and gratitude and know that I'm really blessed, if I will slow down and count my blessings, I have way more than so many people. In fact, it really would humble me. To be honest, I used to get, what was it called? Voice of the Martyrs. Are you all familiar with that ministry in Bartlesville? Chris's father used to be a graphic artist there, and so that's the first time I'd ever heard about the ministry. When we were early married, and it would just humble to me to my core, you know, what's going on. And this was before, you know, ISIS and, you know, being all over the news. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this was my first kind of exposure to be able to really see what's going on the other side of the world, because you didn't hear about it as much. What's scary and sad at the same time is that we are hearing about it. And we're hearing about it more and more and more. And yet, we know it's happening still all over the place where we're not hearing about it. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's still happening all the more that just so much difficulty, there's so much persecution happening in the church today. And so it would humble me to go, you know, Lord, if I'm going to grow in a place of character that's going to be like Jesus, then, you know, what would I have done if I was one of the Coptic Egyptians, you know, walking out of a bus and having a gun point to my head and saying, are you a Christian or will you not? Like, I have to have the character of Christ to be able to say I'm not going to deny him. Like, I have to be able to be so in love with him that I would be able to, because they said even children stared them down. All of them, not a single one denied him, right? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. But I also know in Scripture that it's going to say that there's a certain number of martyrs that have to take place before Christ returns also. Well, my gosh, the numbers have got to be growing faster than ever here recently. So I'm just thinking about when we want to grow into the character of Christ, okay, I don't want to sit here navel-gazing about all the negatives only. I want to go, okay, well, what is the persevering part that I've got to do to develop the character of Christ? Well, when it gets really hard, when money is tight or, you know, whatever it is, can we take a look at our budget and really evaluate where we're spending our time, energy, our talent, our treasure? Can we take a look at where we're investing those resources? How are we being giving? You know, would I be able to have the same bold faith as those people did coming off the bus, like I said? I think it was extremely generous, if I can say it that way, for them to have such faith that they would be able to stare the gun down and be able to not deny. I think that's a generous thing, because I'm willing to give my life for the sake of the gospel. I mean, that's the ultimate sacrifice, right? And so, Lord, I don't want to hang on to anything. I don't want to grip anything, because anything that we grip outside of God himself it's the opposite. Like it's just like you would cling to one and despise the other. What are you clinging to? So we have to be what the scripture said that I read earlier. We have to be open-handed, that we're willing to give, that we're willing to share, whatever that means. So that means sharing the gospel. That means sharing our testimonies, or whenever we ask for those goodness of God testimonies. That means sharing of our life, sharing of our heart. That means opening up our own struggles and being able to share. So I want you to think beyond money and finances, although yes, we have to take a look at that because those are actionable things we can look at and go, how am I stewarding well, right? And then how am I being generous? Here's a really good one. When you go to the restaurant and you tip the waitress, if I was to gather up every wait staff person that's ever been around you in the last year, would they say that you were generous? Just saying, don't raise your hands, don't say nothing. But I've waited tables before, and I'm here to tell you right now, the minute they found out I was a Christian, they said, we vote for you to get all the tables on Sunday afternoon after lunch then, because everyone tips like crap. That's what they would say. And especially if it was a youth group, because you're getting like quarters and pennies on the table. Right? I mean, it really was sad. It was sad to me. I mean, I'll never forget it because I remember going and talking to my pastor and stuff about that and going, we got to do something about that. You know, that's just not okay, that it is well known. And I'm just here to tell you, if you want a ministry to people in the world, go be a waitstaff person because they got some, I mean, they're living off of those tips. Like they're paying bills off of those tips. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, the attitude of people is what she's saying too. It's not just, it's an air, you know, that comes across and stuff too. And the thing is we're representing Christ everywhere we go. And so how much more then, even to people in the world, when we're generous, because then they're like, what? And so think about when we did the Love New Braunfels thing. That was an expression of generosity to break off a poverty spirit in this neighborhood, that we were going to pay for car washes and we were going to pay for laundry and we were going to do things for free. And we weren't asking for donations. It wasn't like we were raising funds for anything, you know, and they just assumed. They kept going, okay, so can, you know, like, are we giving to something? Like, are you on a mission trip or something? And we're like, nope, we're just giving this away. We don't want your money. And we would try to refuse their money, but they would still be like, oh, well, okay, well, wow, well, here, then let's help. They still wanted to give. And we had well over $300 donated within, 4 hours? Not even 4 hours, hardly, that we did that. Just people were wanting to give us the money that they were already going to spend on their car wash, and all we did is turn it right around and want to feed it right back into the neighborhood. But it was just a radical thing. We actually heard kids, they were coming out of the skate park or whatever, that when they came and said, what are you guys doing and why are you doing that? And one of the guys said, nobody does that. Who does that? Nobody does that. Like, why are y'all doing that? I don't understand. Who does that? And as he's like skating away, he's like, I'm going to go tell my people. That's kind of what he said. He's like, I'm going to go tell my people. This is crazy. You know, so he started skating off. And it was just great because you could just see it on their faces, like, people don't do this. And here's a phrase that someone said, though, too. They said, they don't do this. I'm like, well, who's they? Anyone else in the city? You know, kind of a thing. That people just don't do that. And so the fact that we were being the hands and feet of Christ, we were displaying it with sincerity and not any strings attached. There was no hook. It just made their brain go, because it's not a characteristic that people see on a regular basis. And y'all, we should be known for that. I mean, we're supposed to be known for how we love one another, but how is love displayed, right? I think generosity. I think generosity is one way, that we think of others before ourselves. That's being selfless. And remember, we talked about that with humility. It's not about thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less, that we think about other people more. So I really feel like humility and generosity go hand in hand. When we talk about that characteristic of our heart, are we known for being a generous people? Are we known for that? I want you to think about that practically, because I know that, I don't know if you heard the story that Reading, Bethel did this. The city, actually, before it was renamed Reading, used to be called Poverty Flats. That was its name. And so I don't know at what point they changed the name, you know, after, you know, some guy or whatever, but they named it Reading. But when they realized that, they began to recognize the spirit of poverty that was in that small town kind of area or whatever. There's like nothing around for miles, you know, in Reading. But when they decided to release the kingdom and go after the kingdom, a lot of what they would do in the offerings, you know, some of the declarations that we do when we give an offering, some of those are some very prayers and declarations that there's from different places, but a couple of them are from Bethel. And it was about declaring and decreeing what our money was going to do. That we would bless and cleanse, kind of like we talked about cleansing land and time. They would bless and cleanse our finances, because do you know how much sin is done by a single dollar bill that you have in your pocket right now, and how many different times it's been used to buy drugs or sex or something else? Like, so much sin is attached to it. So it's really important, I think, for you to cleanse your money, you know? Like, not to mention just like germs, you know, anytime you think about all the germs that are on there, you know, but wash your hands when you touch money, you know, but being able to okay, God, cleanse any sin that's been attached to this, and then bless it that it would be fruitful and multiply as I give this to whomever, to the church or whatever, that when we give, it's not just the actual finances that we're giving, but the spiritual stuff that's going along with it. It's the spirit that we're partnering with and that generosity of what that dollar is going to do, because we're investing in a place or a person or whatever it is. And that's another thing. I don't want to go too much into this, but there's a real big difference when we understand how to move into wealth and out of a poverty mindset, is to be able to know the difference between a seed and bread. Bread you're supposed to eat, seed you're supposed to sow. Okay, so we're not asking to give out of your bread. We're asking you to give seed. And so what we're about to do here with Pentecost, Mia, if you want to come and share a little bit, but I've asked Mia to come and really lead us into this. But because today is Pentecost, we felt like this tied in really well with an appointed time in a season and a feast or whatever, to be able to receive an offering. And again, this is, you're not required, and it's okay if you didn't know about it or whatever. You can certainly give it this Sunday, you know, as you will, or in the little, we're just going to stick them in the offering boxes or whatever as you leave. Like, I'm not going to ask you necessarily to bring it up here, okay? But I still am going to give you an opportunity tonight to be able to really pray about that because of the appointed season. In the Shiva, I don't want to step on what you're going to share with all of that, but there is something to be able to give when the Lord is saying, here's an appointed time to be able to bless or to give, and then there's a double portion that comes with that. So I want to pray really quick. I'm going to ask Mia to go ahead and come up, and she's going to share, or I'll just let you share first, and then we can pray. And then dismiss, because I want you guys to really have some time with the Lord to just ask if there's a number or if there's something that he wants to do. I don't want you guys to feel pressured. Please hear me say that. It's not about that. It's just about being able to receive and create an opportunity where you can display that generosity, but it's also about giving it back to the Lord.
I am super excited. Anyway, so I want to just briefly share about appointed times, because I believe that, you know, I was not too familiar with it until about, you know, recently, seven or 8 years ago. And in the scripture, it talks about specific times that God has set aside and said, these are the times that I want to meet with you. And it wasn't just for Jewish people. It said forever. So in our generation, this is true. So it can go to Leviticus 23, 1 through 4. And, you know, he talks about holy convocation, appointed times, and, you know, until the end of times that he wants to meet with us. How exciting is that? That God sets us aside a time, specific time, and said, I want to meet with you. And, you know, it is our choice whether we enter into that time to meet with God or not. If you don't meet with him, then you miss out that opportunity. And there are specific three times he said to do not come empty-handed. He's not threatening us. He's just saying, I want to give you something, so bring something. So he's like, it's a kind of a faith exchange. So he wants us to just extremely, extravagantly, and we talked about how generous God is. I mean, think about all the blessings that we have in our life. Just giving his son to us alone. I mean, that's just so amazing. You know, we just owe him everything that we have, because he has given us the life that we would have never have otherwise, right? And on this earth, we have an abundant blessing, but in just everlasting life we're going to have from here on until the end of times, which is just amazing. So even if we have nothing else, we have so much to be thankful for. And when you just draw near to Him, because, you know, everything that we do is a worship, but especially giving is a worship, because there's our heart. You know, specifically, God says how He says, where your treasure is, your heart is. And He wants us to worship in our spirit and the truth and our heart. It's our attitude. He does not require us to bring a huge amount where, you know, you're just sacrificing. She was talking about bread and the seed. He wants us to bring something as a token, you know, our heart. And it could be a huge amount or a small amount. I specifically, you know, once I started getting into this thing about, you know, how God just blesses enormously when you listen to God and give according to He wants us to give, then I've seen it. I've gotten the taste of it. And it's an abundance mindset because there's just so much more. So I'll give you an illustration, small illustration. Okay, so I used to work for SISD, San Antonio Independent District. It's a very, very poor district. And we served inner city. And my clinic budget was $300. That's what you got for entire year. And so you could just not even buy enough Band-Aids for the kids. And so I used to buy Band-Aids out of my own pocket. So even like litter Band-Aid, you know, if kids didn't need it, I wasn't going to apply it. And, you know, I had to be really prudent about who I gave these Band-Aids to. You know, if they didn't need it, I didn't apply it. But now I work for this very generous district, and my budget is something like $3,000 a year. And, you know, even if I ran out of money, they will find money to buy me Band-Aids. So when I start out the school year, I buy 3,000 per, you know, a box has 3,000 Band-Aids in it. I buy like 5 boxes at the beginning of the year. And then it's like currency. When the kids come in, I'm like giving them bags of Band-Aids. You want Band-Aids? Here. I mean, like, I give them out to the teachers. And, you know, like, if you need more, always come and get it, because if you can keep the kids in the classroom, this is how I, you know, how I do that. The only reason I can do that is because I know they will buy me more Band-Aids if I need them. And this is useful. So that's what I'm doing. I know that when I give as I give, God is going to give us more. And just like, you know, we can ask for the seed, because God gives us the seed to sow. So you can ask for it. And I would dare say, if you did not come prepared, I would give you the money to sow into it. Okay? And you can pay me if you want to. So I want to say dog challenge you, but I'm not going to go into that. But just know that I truly believe in these principles, because, you know, as God's people, God has a specific way that He wants us to worship. And we can say, I'm not going to do this. This is how I do it. Then you're going to miss out on the blessing. But, you know, God says, this is how I want to be worshiped. So it's great. And so now the reason I have these breads right here is because Pentecost is the 50th day from day of first fruit. And He gave Torah. It's not the law was a mistranslation. It's actually Torah, which is teachings of God. So He gave Torah to the Israel people. So this represents the word of God. And the reason there are two loaves is one is for Jew and these are Gentiles. So it's one new man church. So we're coming together as one new man. And that's why there's a bread here. And then also this is just sweet because we have, we're breaking the fast. And, you know, leaven and the sweet things are not part of Daniel fast. So now we're going to break the fast and eat this bread and dip it in honey, because when we put this honey on our tongue, we're going to just taste how sweet the word of God is. So sweet. I mean, you know, you could just read the word of God, you know, how Cindy reads it, you know, over and over again, how it ministers to our soul and how sweet it is. And then we can just taste and how wonderful it is. And Hannah is going to get the credit. So I said, you know, honey, because I can't eat gluten, would you make me a gluten-free bread? So she made me gluten-free bread. So this could be Gentile. If you don't want to eat it, you don't have to eat it. But this, I can smell it. It's banana bread. It's just sweet. And then we have regular gluten bread right here that made by HEB special. Anyway, so you can come up and take as much as you want and take, you know, both of, you know, one of each and dip it in honey. And then just savor the moment. And, you know, yesterday Mike and I just sat down in our worship room and we just went over everything that we are believing for, because we can do that. We can do that. You know, God wants us to do that, because, you know, if I was giving a birthday gift, I want my daughter to tell me what she wants. I mean, I don't want to guess. Yeah, of course she has no problem telling me what she wants. But, you know, and there are specific promises. When you keep the appointed times, he said, I give you these specific 7 promises. And not only that, this is a year of Yovel, which is Jubilee. And there's amazing promises that come with year of Jubilee. So there's just amazing time, you know, we can just enter in. And, there, you know, a lot of my friends texted me and said, what do you do on Shavuot? I said, he just wants us to spend time with God. That's it. You know, we just go in and spend time, you know, and just reflecting on the goodness of God. And then we say, Lord, thank you for doing this and thank you for doing this. And as we thank him and he just releases more and more and more, because that giving offering is not a sacrifice, but it's just, you know, it's just a blessing. So as we bless the Lord, because we're blessing his heart, right? And then he just takes us up and he just showers, like the shower that we had earlier. And I was just thinking, man, you know, we can like offer him a cup of a liter of water and then he's going to just shower us like that. And it's just pouring out and pouring out. And there's no umbrella that can stop that, right? So it's just amazing. So I just want to declare these promises of God over you, because you guys already know that, because I sent out the email. So, oh, here's my offering right here. I can't prepare it. So I want you to just ask the Lord, and he's going to give you immediately what the number is. And so, year of Jubilee. So, Father, can I just pray over this offering? So, Father God, I just thank you so much. Thank you so much for this appointed time that you want to meet with us. I thank you so much for pouring out your Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, Spirit of Jesus that you gave to the church. And this is the birthday of church, Lord God. I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you that you just pour it out upon us. And Lord God, we want more and more and more of you. Just like the song we sang, we come together in hunger and thirst. And Lord God, that we just hunger and thirst for you and for your Holy Spirit. And we truly believe that river of life flow through us. As you said, if we believe, then the river of life is going to flow through us. So thank you that river of life is flowing through us. And Lord God, we thank you that this is year of Jubilee, that you're setting us free from any bondage and servitude, from physical and spiritual servitude, and that you cancel all our debts, Lord God, and that you restore all the properties and inheritances, and that you release us from all unholy soul ties and demonic oppressions. And Lord God, I thank you that you give us 7 promises as we observe the appointed times and spend time with you, that you promise us that you sent us angels and ahead of us and guard us, and that you are an enemy to our enemy, Lord God, and that you bless our food and water, and that you take sickness away from us, and you give us full lifespan. And Lord God, that you send terror ahead of us so we never fear you, fear anything, Lord God, and that you expand our borders. So we thank you so much. We thank you for your kingdom, Lord God. And we thank you for principles of generosity, that we can live in abundance because we don't have to have anything, because we have you, Lord God. That you pour out your blessings upon us so that we can be a blessing to others. And we thank you for the principles of sowing and reaping, that we are the people who sow generously. So in our prayers, so in our kind words, kind actions, and Lord God, our time and our talent, and even our possessions, Lord God, because it is not ours, Lord God. You gave it to us, and we choose to be generous. And Lord God, we choose to be a blessing to everyone around us, like this good Samaritan, Lord God. They will be true good neighbors, Lord God, in our heart and in our action and in our words. And Lord God, we thank you so much for fulfillment of all of your promises. And Lord God, whatever you have promised us, Lord God, that you are faithful to keep all of your promises. So we thank you and praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so you guys are dismissed for tonight. We just want to invite you. We want to invite you to be able to come up and participate in the bread as you see fit. And again, if you want to give an offering, we have the offering boxes on the side. You're welcome to just kind of put them in either one of those, and I'll let at Pastor No, and we'll just go from there. But if anyone has any prayer requests or anything that you need any prayer for, we'll be up here up front too if you guys need anything in that regard. Okay? All right, so y'all be blessed and come and enjoy some of the bread. Taste and see that the Lord is good.